Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. Second week of March. Here we are with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. Hello, welcome. How's Terre Haute today?
Going well, the weather's been pretty good lately. We've had a mild winter, so that's been, I've loved that. But we're getting closer to spring now, and that's when everything starts happening. So it's an exciting time around here.
Yeah, it is nice to see everybody out and about these last couple of days. A little cooler today. Wanted to start with something. I did this last week with Mayor Jim Lineup, but something national news made more local recently, and that was that Ohio train derailment. Lineup mentioned how it's a very rare kind of disaster, but one that local emergency personnel they're trained for. And I know many trains go through Terre Haute as well. Did you kind of have one of those uh-oh moments when you saw that?
Yeah, just briefly though, because we have talked about it off and on, and our emergency management folks are—they're always, thinking through that stuff on our behalf, and then get us involved with planning and reviewing of things periodically. We've got about 60 trains a day that move through Terre, so who knows what's in some of that cargo? I mean, just like that, I'm sure those folks had no idea what was passing through, but, when something like that happens, it's like everything comes to a standstill because you don't even know what you're dealing with. And you have to be ready for that and do have as much of an impact as you can up front on a disaster like that. So I made us think about that. We had some internal discussions. I had some external discussions to make me feel good about if something did happen that we'd be ready to respond to that. And so I feel good about that. I hope it never happens. Hope it happens to nobody, but obviously, those things can happen. And there's been a few more train wrecks since that one across the United States. So, they're going to get derailed and things are going to happen. And we just need to be prepared to keep the community safe.
Well, and there was a incident, I believe was it a week ago, about an ammonia spill into the sewer system and caused some problems. Can you talk about where that happened, how that happened, and how things are right now?
Yeah. And, that was kind of timely with that train wreck. So I think some people here were like, oh, that's, similar, but what do you do when that happens? So we had a local company, Hydrite Chemical, that makes a variety of chemicals, but ammonia is one of their end products. And it was just a man-made mistake there of somebody doing the wrong thing and emptying that into our sewer system where their waste product should have gone, and but their end product did. And when that gets into the sewer system and works its way to the treatment plant, it kills the bugs in the treatment plant because it's such a potent, chemical that it stopped our processes. And so we were able to capture that spill into 7 of our 18 tanks that we have down there and keep it in there so it wouldn't go, do more damage and do environmental damage. And we've been working on it ever since. It'll be 2 weeks this Wednesday. Of being, of in our system. And we have recovered pretty well. We've got 3 of our tanks of the 7 that are functioning normally. The other 2 are coming online as we speak. So, but it made us go into an emergency mode to deal with this chemical spill, if you will. That was just an inadvertent thing. And so we're working with them. They're hauling some stuff out from our plant and treating it in a different facility. We're bringing bugs in. I mean, it's really just kind of it's quite a process to watch, but it made me feel really good about our internal processes to deal with that. And IDEM came in and verified everything we're doing and said we are doing it by the book. And they applauded our efforts of dealing with it. It's just you wish you didn't happen. It didn't happen, but things like this do.
Was this something the company notified the treatment plant or when it?
It was kind of both because it happened overnight. And so, they recognized once their additional staff came in the next morning that it was going, the wrong thing was going into the sewer. And then our plant noticed it because we could smell it. So we were able to identify that pretty quickly.
Was there any loss of service to residents or anything like that?
Nope. We have enough capacity down there. The major upgrades we've done on that plant has allowed us to deal with things like this. Not that you plan for a spill like this, but the capacity that we have allows us to guide that to a certain tank, shut those tanks off from the rest of the system to make sure it doesn't get into the river, basically. That's the worst case scenario would be to have it dump into the river, and that did not happen. And we've done a great job. I applaud our staff. IDEM has applauded our staff that we handled this very, very well. And it'll take us a few more weeks to get rid of all of it, but the process is working.
And I just want to be sure, when you say bugs, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, they are actual bugs that, you know, that's how treatment plants work. And so they eat the waste, if you will. And so you have to have these microbes in there doing their job to break the waste down. So the water, as it moves from parts of the plant, it gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner until you put it back into the river. Well, up front, all the rough stuff's in there, you know, all the stuff that goes into the toilet has to be dealt with. And the bugs break that down. And so the solids sink, the water rises, you pull the water off, you treat the water, and you just keep working through the process.
So
no treatment plants, they live that. You know, I had to learn that as mayor. I did not know how that all worked when I first got here, but I know so much more about it today.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured that's what you meant. And then the more I thought about it, I wondered if it was an acronym for something.
It's actual. Term they use.
Yeah. Let's just get to the State House. It's the halfway point of the session. And I know you've been keeping your eye on a few things. Do you have any updates for us?
You know, it seems like the TIF bill died in the House, so that was good. Once again, communities only have really two tools available to us. If somebody wants to locate in a TIF district, we can help with infrastructure, et cetera, or we have tax abatements. That's really the only two tools that municipalities have. And so I was concerned about that bill, that some of that money was going to go to other taxing entities, and they were just going to make it more difficult for us to spend the money there. And you name it, we fight these battles every session. But I feel good that it didn't make it out of the House. Doesn't mean it's completely dead. It could resurface in a Senate bill. But, that was a good one for me. What they're going to do on property taxes, I don't know. They're wanting to provide relief, you know, to taxpayers. I understand that, but I don't know what that exactly might look like at the end. So I'm keeping a very close watch on that. Otherwise, I think it's been a pretty good session of things that are, you know, more helpful than harmful. You know, I love my legislators. I work with them all the time. But there's just certain things that make it difficult to run a municipality. Now, those are the ones that I stay focused on. How can we find a way to provide relief, but don't do it at the, you know, at the cost of delivering services? And so I think they get the message. They're trying to find ways to do both. And so I feel really good about the halfway point.
Escevigo County commissioners are presenting the American Rescue Plan Act funds. Last time we talked, the city was working on its plans. I believe it went in front of city council. So how's that going? What funding projects are you looking at?
So we've been working very closely with the county to make sure we're aligned on all of our projects, whether it's ready funded or ARPA funded or casino money in the future funded, whatever that might be. And so I think we've done a good job on these ARPA funds to figure out how we leverage the county's amount and the city's amount to get the biggest bang for the buck in our community. So some of those dollars will go to matches for ready grants. Some of the dollars will go directly to small business, to not-for-profits, to housing. We've all agreed on some of those big buckets. And then there's some individual projects that we're each supporting. So in the city's case, you know, we're looking at some things that are housing related for homeless housing or some assisted living kind of in a facility that's looking to locate here that needs some help with some, scoring some points, some investments we can make out there to help with that. It'll be across the board. So we're looking at workforce development, housing, childcare, quality of life projects. All of that fits somewhere underneath those type of umbrellas. Then there's a few city projects we're going to fund, the city hall renovations that we've talked about before, a Brown Avenue stormwater project, a sewer sanitary related to our 13th and 8th Avenue overpass that's going in. So it's kind of a mix of things, but we're going to try to make the money. You don't want to spread it thin, but you want to make sure the things you invest in will have a substantial impact. So we're trying to make sure we cover all of our bases, but not do something that will, you spend some money for 6 months or a year, and then what do you show for it? We want these things to be lasting investments.
Something you talked about too in your end of the year show that we do, and we talk about the past year, what you're looking forward to this year, was parks planning. Is that something that you're very active with too right now?
Yeah, we're making major progress on our Hertz Rose Park. That's part of a bigger neighborhood stabilization project in that 16th and Locust area. We are starting the actual design, the design documents for that park upgrade. It'll get totally refurbished. The whole park will get everything new. And so that's an exciting one for me that's taking the next step into going into the design mode. We hope to complete that this summer and be able to go out to bid with something by the fall on that project. Then at Fairbanks Park, we're beginning to pick. We're probably going to have about 9 or 10 projects. Fairbanks Park is our park on the river. It's in downtown Terre Haute. We want to really make that a much more of a destinational park. And so we've got the master plan done now. Now we're beginning to work on the individual projects and starting to design on those. So those will take longer. They're bigger projects than like the Hertz Rose Park, but we're going to begin to do next year. We'll probably pick off at least 2 of those projects to get construction started on, and then a couple of each year after until we get them all done. Ray Park and rehabilitating the clubhouse. The goal is still to go to construction in November of this year on that. We're still raising private funds, working with a local group to do that fundraising, and then the city will match that. And I think we're going to get there here in the next couple months. So I'm excited about improvements at Ray Park on the far south side. And then the last one is the Deming Park pool, an upgrade to the pool, repair of existing pool, adding a zero entry pool next to that, and amenity slides and, you know, rock climbing wall, those kind of things at that park. So basically a park on the north side, the west side, the east side, and the south side is our focus first. Then as we get those projects underway, we're going to begin to bring other parks into the fold. Our goal is to make some improvements in all of our parks over the next 5 to 10 years. We've got 29 different facilities we're responsible for.
Wow. And is this something that's being funded by the ARPA, or is it a across the board funding?
All of the above. Edit, yeah. ARPA, Ready, and then casino revenue beginning next year.
Any updates on the casino construction? And I know there's a lot of city infrastructure improvements going on there too.
Yeah, it's going well. I drove by yesterday. I hadn't been out there in a few days, and it's moving up, you know, really well. They're on their schedule. They feel like they're meeting the schedule that they had set a few months ago, and still plan to open basically a year from now, the end of next March. So we'll see. You know, there's always factors that can slow that down. But right now they are moving very quickly. So we're excited about that. And then infrastructure investments around it that they're paying for will be happening this year. And so we're going to see a lot of activity out there on that east side.
You know, I see the Trib Stars reporting Terre Haute could get a $1 billion investment from a battery producing company in Vigo County's industrial park. It could create about 640 jobs. This is huge news for you.
Huge. You know, it's a company we've been working with for a while. You know, these leads come in and you see them on a list, you know, a year or two ago, and you're thinking, okay, we'll see how these play out. And then if you stay on the list, you know, you're in pretty good shape. This one has been doing that for the last year, and everybody locally felt good about it, but you just never know until the final decision's made. So they're in those final steps of that. It's very exciting. It looks like it's going to happen. You know, average wage is going to be about $70,000 a year. That's tremendous. 642 jobs, and it's really over $1 billion investment kind of over a period of time as they ramp up their operations. And so we're looking forward to, you know, the county being able to finalize that. It's in our South Industrial Park here. So the County Redevelopment Commission, the County Council, and others, commissioners are all working hard on that. But our team overall, you know, that's what we're trying to do, is bring those higher paying jobs, those big investments, so people can buy homes here. They can increase their household income. We want those opportunities for people. And so this is a perfect fit for what you're trying to do. It's one of those, you know, the goals you shoot for. And it looks like this one's going to play out for us. So we're just hopeful that the final parts of the deal can come together and everything will happen.
What kind of ripple effect could that have on the city if Terre Haute's able to draw them in?
Well, you know, I think anytime you get a big announcement like that, you get a big investment, you know, that it sends message that we're ready, open for business. You know, everybody uses that term, but I still worry about some things. You know, we need a population increase in the state of Indiana, and here in Terre Haute, we need more people in the pool workforce. But I think it sends a great message that it's inexpensive. Government will work with you here. We've got the, you know, the talent. We've got four colleges and universities. We're right at the crossroads of America on the major interstates. We got an airport that's the third busiest one in the state of Indiana. I mean, there's so many selling tools, but you got to close deals. And so here's one that looks like, you know, is probably most likely going to happen that will have that kind of an impact. So the employees will be making good wages. Hopefully they'll invest, buy homes. Hopefully it'll draw additional people to our community that want to work there. I think it has a very dynamic effect.
Now, I was talking to a startup company in Bloomington last week, and he was mentioning that the next step to developing the economy was bringing in larger companies because the smaller startups kind of feed or work off of the bigger companies and it kind of grows everything. But it must be hard to bring in those large companies.
It is. It's very difficult. And it's so competitive. That's the thing. The Midwest is looking pretty good right now for the battery industry, semiconductors. I mean, you've heard the governor talking a lot about that. And I met with Brad Chambers at the Commerce Secretary recently, and he's telling us about all these leads that are coming into Indiana because we're a great place to do business, but they want to be in the Midwest. You know, that's a great place for them to locate, to be able to send their products out. And so when we're out recruiting, you know, Terre Haute is not one of the bigger cities. You know, we hold our own, but, you know, a lot of times they look at a bigger pool of people or bigger resources from the government. I think we play a perfect role in that competition where there's a lot of room here. It's inexpensive to live here and invest here and create your business here. But I think you have to do all of the above. I think you know, most employees come from new growth of employees comes from growth of existing businesses. That's a known fact. But you got to get a few of these big wins along the way too, to bring somebody new in, bring new technology and bring new investments in. And so you grow the old, you know, the existing, you help some startups kind of mixed in the play, and you land a big one periodically that kind of makes the whole economy purr. And, you know, we're a big healthcare industry here with two major hospitals. We're a big retail destination. We're a big educational destination. We're big on manufacturing. But you've got to fill all the niches of that. And so we're trying to work all that, working great with the commissioners, working great with the state of Indiana. And hopefully this will be one of those, the fruits of that effort.
Before we go, I hear there's a big donation, the Indiana Theater, from a familiar name in Terre Haute. Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, a few years ago, Greg Gibson bought it basically so it wouldn't go in the tax sale. He saved the building from being used for what we believe to be something of a lesser use than what we envisioned that for. The Indiana Theater is one of the oldest theaters left in the state of Indiana, designed by a guy that designed very unique way, architecture. It's just a beautiful facility. It's still in excellent condition. Greg did not want to be in the movie or the, you know, entertainment business, but he wanted to make sure that building was saved. And so he recently donated to that to the CIB. So that's going to be our second project now after our convention center. We will take that building over hopefully in the next, you know, couple of months. We'll get through all the legal stuff of that and get a handle on what needs all done in there. We know it needs new heating and cooling, new roof, et cetera. We're going to be using ARPA funds, possibly some Ready funds, some casino funds. You know, we don't have to use existing budget line items, but we'll be able to use revenues both from the city and the county. We're both in on this, and we're going to make that be a showcase entity destination here locally. Greg had already had an agreement with a local movie guy who runs the outdoor theater here in Terre Haute. So they're going to run first run movies in there. It'll be available for concerts and comedy shows and you name it. It's going to be a real functional location like it used to be in its past. It's just been closed now for a few years, but preserved. But now it needs some, you know, little TLC. And we're going to bring that back, and it's going to be a great destination in our community.
And for those who don't know, Greg Gibson is a longtime business person in Terre Haute, right?
Yeah, sorry, I got to think about.
Yeah, you know, no,
here,
no.
But longtime businessman, you know, was originally involved with the casino project. It didn't work out for him, but he's a great guy for the community. Everything he does benefits the community. And this is a perfect example of him taking something that probably would have turned into not been what it'll be and saved it, donated to us so we can get it in government hands and do it right, like a lot of other communities have done with old theaters. There's success stories all over the Midwest like that.
Yeah. I know we're out of time, but I always like to leave the last minute up to you. Any other big announcements that you'd like to make?
I don't think any big announcements. I think we're gearing up for this construction season. I know I say that we go through the winter and we plan, and now it's time to start making it happen. We're getting some of our bids back. They look like they're right in line with our engineering estimates. So that makes me think the inflation's at least holding its own. You know, we're not seeing any big increases in material costs or labor costs right now. And so I think this is going to be a good productive year for us and not cost us more like last year did. Everything cost us a lot more. And I think we're prepared to deal with that locally this year. It's going to be a really exciting year. There's a lot of things coming down the pike that I think we're positioning ourselves well as we look forward even beyond this year.
Thanks so much for your time. And the year goes by quickly. We'll see you in April.
I know. The first quarter, first third of the year, I should say. The first quarter is already up here now today. So it does go fast. But, you know, great things are happening.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Joe.